Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 94 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to cover the weekly news. We're going to begin an entertainment talk with the latest news around the theatrical window. We've got the Emmy nominations released this week and a unusual leak that came out of Nintendo. And then we're going to move over into tech news and talk about the big story around the potential United States ban of TikTok. The Airbus completes autonomous landings and takeoffs. CES 2021 gets canceled, and some other tech news. There's a lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, and welcome back to episode 94 of the Nerd Cantina Show. And I'm out on weird location right now in the middle of some vineyard in my RV with family. So hopefully you all can hear some roosters, birds, whatever the microphone picks up here in the background.
You might be able to hear in my voice that I'm still hungover from Saturday.
So this will be an interesting one. We can go ahead and jump right into some of this news. And we'll start with the movies. As every other week, we've just been talking about all these delays, everything taking place. No new delays. So I guess that's good news. We're in that interim period where we think that we're going to open up theaters in the next couple weeks. With late August is the dates that AMC Regal is looking to open. And then September 3rd being that first big release with Tenet.
Fingers crossed, man. Fingers crossed.
And what we get this latest week is that Universal and AMC Theaters, they forged a deal looking at setting the release window for theatrical release to a shorter time frame than it historically has been. And this is going to put the theatrical release down to 17 days, essentially giving the theaters the first two opening weekends of a movie's run. And then after that, it would go to premium video on demand and theaters. Well,
it's actually what, the first three weekends, because you get 14 days. So Friday to Friday plus three more, which is another Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah. That's true.
So and this is kind of what we were talking about when we were speculating how these companies should handle this, what, 2-3 months ago? And we said flat out, if you haven't seen a movie in the theater after the third week, you're not going to go see it. So just fucking put it on demand, you know. And I think all of the Universal execs, the AMC execs, I think everybody realized that that's, you know, common sense. If a fucking idiot like me could come up with it in 5 minutes,
yeah. I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense. I think it should work. You know, it took COVID to make this a reality, but I actually hope it sticks around beyond the time frame of COVID. I think that, you know, the theaters are going to try to get their full 3 months back that they normally have. But this does make a ton of realistic sense for the studios, especially when you talk about these mid to lower release number of movies. That, yeah, if somebody doesn't see those mid movies in the first 3 weeks, they're just not going to go to the theater to do it. Those are the ones that you go to that have two people sitting in a Saturday night show.
Yeah, who waited a month to go see Endgame? Who waited a month to go see, you know, any of these major blockbusters? If you don't go in the first 3 weeks, then, you know, if it gets spoiled for you, if everybody's watching at home, like, you obviously didn't care that much. Like, I'm not trying to feel bad for the people that don't support this medium. You know, like, we need this to work for everybody. And I think this is a perfect scenario where it works for the homebodies that don't care too much, but still like to see movies before they're spoiled. I think it works for people like me that love to sit in a nice recliner with an IMAX screen or the Dolby screen and surround sound. I think this is just a really good thing for movies in general. And, you know, it might encourage some people to go to a theater, to where if you wait till on demand and watch, you know, part one of a trilogy, maybe that gets you to go see part two in the theater. You know, maybe people watching more movies on demand at home will go to the theater for some more bigger releases because they enjoy being able to keep up with the times and not have movies spoiled and want to be a part of the conversation. So the fact that they may watch more movies at home might encourage them to go to a theater maybe 2-3 times more a year than they normally would have.
It's possible. And you're just going to open it up for cheap people like me and people who need babysitters. And it's an effort to just go out for those movies that aren't worth doing that. Maybe I still watch one or two of them a year that are going to be on demand. So I think it's a win. I think it's a win for consumers, for viewers. I think it's still going to be a win for the majority of the entertainment industry, other than actual theater owners who will, I'm sure, try to go back to the norm. And I'm hoping that that it doesn't after COVID. But we can move on to the next topic within entertainment, and it's the Emmys. So the Emmys are announced as far as their nominations. They also announced that they're going to be doing obviously some type of virtual event, streamed event, not in, live in person. So it's going to be a weird Emmys coming up.
I want to see everyone in some chic ass pajamas.
That's what I was just supposed to say the same thing.
Like I'm wearing a Louis Vuitton slumber set.
Yeah, that would make sense. I would like to see that as well. I think it's going to be a bit odd as they'll figure out how they're going to make it some big event. But I'm sure they will still get all of the top celebrities to dial in to do this, to set up pre-recorded, you know, naming of people and their little monologues and jokes. It's all going to happen.
I tell you who's not going to be there. Motherfucking Reese Witherspoon.
yeah, she
she's gonna be mad.
Yes, that's one of the big surprises, is that she just did not get a nomination. She's in like four shows right now,
and big good shows that all got like heavily nominated. But like I almost see it, because even when I watched the Fires show, the Big Little Fires or whatever, so.
She's got the Fire show too.
Yeah, yeah. The Fires one, actually. You know, so she's got the Big Little Lies and then like Big Fires Everywhere. It gets a little confusing. But either way, when I first started watching that show, I even said to my girlfriend, I was like, in all these shows, she plays like the same character. Like she is like literally the same person in every show. Like they all felt like, I mean, they have some variations, but like Reese is just playing Reese. So at what point do you just be like, yeah, like she's becoming the token blonde white woman in all these dramas?
I mean, I haven't seen any of these shows, but they're not
giving Emmys away to the person that plays the best Karen. Let's put it like that.
Well, some of the other surprising ones, you know, in our world, looking at like the fact that The Mandalorian got 15 nominations.
Boom.
I expected to get something, but I mean, that is a lot of nominations for a Star Wars nerd show on Disney Plus. So it's a big win for Disney Plus.
I mean, it was a good show. You know, like I love the whole like nod to the old Westerns kind of episodic shows back in the day. I think a lot of it has to do with the hype of season 2 coming too. Like, you know, Mandalorian released a long time ago. Compared to everything else. So I think it's a little bit of Disney did some good hype around it, and I think that helped it out. Not that it doesn't deserve a lot of these nominations, but still.
Yeah, and you know, we got this week the actor who plays Moff Gideon talking about, you know, the Mandalorian season 2 coming up and being all about the backstory and everything else of the Darksaber that was shown at the end. So and said that Mandalorian will be back sooner than later. So it was a big show, a big win for them. That one, they got it. You know, they filmed the production and they're pretty much ready to send that out during this COVID world. That one didn't hit all these delays that everything else is. But yeah, big win, 15 nods for them. So that's a very strong showing for again, just a brand new Disney Plus show. And these streaming services are continue to kind of dominate, as Netflix is the top one getting nominated. So HBO set a record with 137 nominations last year. And then this year, Netflix gets 160.
Yeah, that's insane, man.
I mean, when you have a million shows, you know, there's a Netflix original show every week. it seems. A bunch of them that I've never even heard of. But there's so many shows, and they've got some strong ones like Ozark that got 18 nominations. I've never seen The Crown, but that apparently got like 13. Tiger King took in six. So, like, all right.
Oh, you want to know what the one that blew my mind? Quibi got two.
Yeah, they did.
Quibi got two for the simple fact that there is a category called Outstanding Short Form Comedy or Drama Series. So, hey, you make something less than 15 minutes, we got a category for you. And Quibi came in like, it's our fucking time to shine.
Did you notice which one got it?
Yeah, man, the only one that almost got me to spend money. God damn it, that fucking Reno 911. I love that show. It is hilarious.
Yeah, so Reno 911 almost getting you in there, but it did get an Emmy though. So didn't get you to sign up for Quibi, but it did get an Emmy nod.
How do you think the Emmy nominations for Watchmen are going to play into them trying to force a second season sometime end of 2021, maybe 2022?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I have not seen.
How do you not like if you're know, if so you're HBO? Got, how do you not like so force
26 nominations?
Hand?
Yeah, 26 Emmy nominations.
Not just to be like Emmy nominated, but also to drive a lot of what's going on in our culture right now. You know, without Watchmen, you think anybody knows about Tulsa? You know, do you think everybody would have celebrated Juneteenth this year without a show like Watchmen putting what happened in Tulsa in the forefront of pop culture?
Yeah, I mean, definitely not the Tulsa massacres, and that would definitely not be in people's memory at all. Like I said, I when we watched it and we talked about it, our review of that show, I had to go and research, you know, what actually happened after watching that.
John Oliver just did a piece last night on it about how Tulsa wouldn't have been talked about, and all these like black scholars, you know, he had one dude on the show that lived in Tulsa and didn't even know about it. And when he found out about it on HBO, it blew his goddamn mind. He's like, I live in Tulsa. I went to school on that street. How did they not teach me this?
Like, yeah, that's wild.
But like with a show that well done and driving a lot of what's going on in American culture right now, how do you not double down on that? Like they're going to start writing down big numbers on sheets of paper and sliding it across the table to people to get this thing made. I promise you that.
Yeah, I think they've been trying to do that from the beginning, and there's been rumors about whether it's going to happen. Damon Lindelof is, you know, he flat out said that no, he will not be doing another one, that this was a one-off show. But then there have been, you know, rumors from questionable nerd sources that keep saying that, hey, there's a way this is happening. I'd be curious to see if they don't. I think it would actually be pretty epic if it doesn't, right? If the money and the fame and stuff like that still just doesn't convince Damon Lindelof to continue the story.
If there's never a season two, I got mad respect for that dude's principles.
Yeah. I mean, like if you said that there was just that, hey, you were taking Alan Moore's story and you were just doing one thing with it, and that this was the ending that you wanted, and it was always designed to be this. And yeah, you don't jump off of that because they're offering you $100 million to put together a season two or whatever else it's going to turn out to be.
Well, not even just the money, but also the, like I said, the accolades that come along with doing something so good that society shifts a little bit. You know what I mean? That you bring attention to social history that wasn't mentioned. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I find it really hard to believe, unless like he's really just like I didn't want to tell anybody, but that's all I got, man. That's all I got. Like, you got one good one, and that's all I can muster for you.
that's one interesting take. I'm sure he doesn't believe that. You know, this is just the complete story. But either way, it's a very kind of, you know, interesting take that they ended up with so many Emmy nods, and it's just a one-off miniseries. But it definitely has room for it to be reprised for a season two if we get there. And I would not be surprised if it does. And I wouldn't hold it against, like I said, Matt, props if he sticks to his guns. But also, I've got no hatred against him or judgment against him if he decides to take that money and go put together another epic season two.
We'll be watching the Emmys, the probably worst award show in history, given that it's like the whole thing about these shows is, you know, the fashion and the spectacle of it, you know, like it's going to be relegated to basically like, man, a kindergarten graduation at this point. Like, there's going to be nothing. There's going to be nothing special about it. We're just handing out the sheets of paper to make everybody feel good. Like, it's going to be weird.
Yeah,
but I'll watch it.
It's going to be weird.
There was a lot of good TV, you know, this year. So I want to see who they recognize and who they don't.
All right. Here's a show that got like all the comedy nods that I haven't seen, but I've heard good things about it. Have you watched What We Do in the Shadows?
I have. I've seen the movie and I've watched a few episodes. It is one that I keep saying, like, man, I got to pound these out. Like, man, I really have to pound these out. And I just haven't. I fucked up and I started Suits the other week, and that's got like 9 seasons.
Yeah.
That was a good show that a lot of people talked about that I never watched. So I started Suits.
It's one of the few shows that I've actually watched every episode of.
Wow. Like,
yeah.
Now I really feel like shit. But I'm 6 episodes into Umbrella Academy, and I think when I finish off Umbrella Academy, I'll throw What We Do in the Shadows in, just because it is such a great concept. You know, it is really quality. So it's kind of a shame I haven't started it.
Yeah, it's a shame that instead of watching higher quality things, I'm watching Warrior Nun on Netflix. So this is these are the bad life choices I make.
Oh man, I just can't with you. I just can't.
All right. Well, we can move out of the Emmys here and go ahead over to this video game news with this Nintendo leak. And I don't know if you saw this article that I shared with you, but it's pretty crazy. You know, it's this unprecedented Nintendo leak where a lot of the like original code for all of these classic old Nintendo games were released. And in those leaks, like it's a peek behind the veil. Some people think it's kind of like dirty as these programmers and everything else looking into the actual way in which the games were coded. Some of the original coders commented on it. I was like, I haven't seen that line of code that I wrote, that ugly line of code since 1980 something, because there's no reason for it. Like the original Star Fox and how they coded the personalities and who was talking was in there. Also, like the fact that there was code written for a Luigi in Mario 64 that. There's famously no Luigi in that game. Apparently there were plans for it. For whatever reason, it didn't end up happening. Also a bunch of like hidden secret levels, like the descriptions and the designs of hidden levels for Zelda, hidden levels for other games. All these classic games, and just showing, you know, again, what some of these games could have done, what they intended on doing, what these programmers are, how they're actually writing these things out. It's really a weird access that was given through this leak.
Yeah, I think it's just kind of cool for programmers to get a peek, you know, behind the curtain of like the dawn of video games. And you know, that so much goes into making video games nowadays. To see the original code to a lot of these old classics, I'm sure is like, it's like watching a documentary on how they made the original Star Wars, and you see all these models and them blowing up little fireworks on them and everything attached to fishing line and, you know, like all the days before CGI and shit. And you're just like, this is how they made movies? Like, you know what I mean? And it, like, but you get a little bit of appreciation for the final product that they came up with during like a time where, you know, coding was limited. We only knew so much. You can only fit it on a computer chip that, you know, wasn't rewritable. And, you know, Like, motherfucker, most of my life, most of my childhood, you couldn't save your goddamn game, man.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what it's like to leave your Nintendo on for 5 fucking days trying to finish this fucking game? Like, and just constantly having that stress that someone's going to walk by it because you know it's on the floor because the controllers were only 6 feet fucking long. So the thing's on the goddamn floor. And all it takes is someone to boot it, hit that reset button, and all my fucking time and effort is put in, you know, it right in the goddamn trash. Like, kids don't know that life. Nobody knows that fucking life right now.
No, they don't. And like I said, I think it's actually fascinating. I don't think this is a bad thing at all. It's a leak. Nintendo really wishes it didn't happen. Nintendo doesn't want this out there. I think
it's great to see a bunch of 50 and 60 year old programmers face palming themselves like right now, looking at like their old high school senior pictures. Like, oh, I can't believe I wore that. Like, can't believe I wrote that code. It's so horrible.
Yeah, but I think it's cool to see like the fact that Mario 64 code's out there, and you know this is gonna be part of, you know, human history in the future and video game nerd culture history, as people can look at like, hey, that first 3D actual like major 3D groundbreaking game for the release of Nintendo 64. Like, here's how they got to it. Here's how they coded this. You know, I'm not smart enough in coding to really appreciate it, but I mean there are going to be plenty of nerds in the future that will.
There's more now than there's ever been before, you know, and God only knows the mods that are going to come out in the next 6 months of people taking this code and turning Mario into Master Chief, or you know, like like, you know, now that the code's out there and people have it, one thing we know about the internet is there's a lot of people out there with some major spare time that will do all kinds of shit for the lulz.
Yeah,
for the lulls of the game.
So if you are a coder and you want to go see these things, those leaks are out there. You can find the article that I posted that has some, but for the most part, you can Google your way into finding these source leaks and go appreciate the history of gaming through Nintendo. And then really that takes us out of entertainment talk. We can move over into our tech news.
Well, that was tech adjacent.
Yeah, I guess. Video games, entertainment.
That was a good segue piece.
Tech as well, yeah. So we'll jump into a story that we've been talking about for the entirety of this podcast. Has been in existence about TikTok and the issues around there. And we've got some big news this week regarding, you know, the initial tweets by the president and his statements
I just
that he was going to ban
how
TikTok.
We've been talking about this for like a year, and now all of a sudden it's like a political issue.
Yeah, well,
like it's now forefront of the news, and it's all about what Trump has power to do, and like mad people are just, he's trying to take something we love. He's like, nah, man. No, we're trying to protect the United States' best interests. Like, quit looking through everything through a political lens like that. We have been trying to blow this horn for a long goddamn time right now. And to see it become like this issue that nobody's even talking about the facts. It's just about like, I like TikTok. You want to take it away? Like, I don't care about TikTok. Get rid of it. And they just yell at each other. And it's like, guys, there's actual facts and you know, things that can happen from this. Like, you should talk about the details, not just how you feel.
Yeah, and I mean, there was a guy on Reddit that talked about how he went and kind of like reverse engineered through TikTok, and he's done it through Facebook Messenger and Facebook and Twitter, and he's done it, and he just like was appalled at the level of data that they are collecting on TikTok. It is things that there's no reason that they should be pulling. There's no reason they should be having it. And he gives in great detail. And I can link it in the show notes over at the nerdcantina.com /show 94. And he just talks about just how appalling it was at the level of kind of surveillance that they are doing, the location gathering, the frequency at which they are gathering location, also additional data, the access they have is beyond what Twitter requires, is beyond what Facebook requires, and we know that we don't even trust those companies.
Well, and that's the thing is, everyone's defense is like, well, they all scrape our data. Why do we care about this one? Well, not all the, you know, Facebook, the Twitters, they're American owned. Even if they're internationally owned apps that you're using, it's a little different than Chinese owned. Like we have to separate the fact that China is a very malicious capitalistic country. You know, I'm not going to come out and just say flat out evil, but they're that asshole friend that will take any kind of like opening to better themselves. You know, he's the dickhead that has 5 lighters in his fucking pocket because he took everyone's fucking lighter at the party. Was it that mean or that big of a deal? No, but you were a fucking jagoff. You were a jagoff. You have like you feel 6 lighters in your pocket. You know, you took them from everyone here, but yet you go home, you throw them in your dashboard of your car and you feel good about yourself. You're a piece of shit. You were a piece of shit. You know, like China is that dude.
All right. Well, that's an analogy I could have never came up with. Thank you for that. I mean, we've been talking about this from the get-go. I still tell every person that ever tells me that they found something on TikTok or saw something on TikTok, my immediate response is, that's a spy. Delete TikTok. Right? That's always my response. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's somebody I saw at the grocery store. That is always what I tell everybody. And I'm glad to see that there's steps. It's, you know, at first it was the tweet about, hey, you know, executive action, we're going to ban TikTok by Saturday. Well, Saturday came and went, and there was no ban on it. But it did start, Microsoft has started talking about purchasing the U.S. rights of TikTok in order to move it, in order to move U.S., the U.S.
So,
version
so
of TikTok
really,
into the United
really
States.
That really confuses me how they're going to go about that, because why would Microsoft... So, one, either they have to scrape all of TikTok's code and make sure that they're not opening themselves up to any back doors that could leave Microsoft in a you know, bad predicament. So are they just buying the name and they're going to roll out their own version of TikTok that with the code they wrote and just take the TikTok name because it's
probably
or,
not. I mean,
or are they buying the code and they're just going to run Chinese code under their system like a bunch of fucking morons? Like, gee, nothing bad can ever come of this.
Yeah, but I'm sure that they would end up having move everything, all their server space, everything into the U.S. I'm sure Microsoft could figure out how to do it, and then also gain a service that has 80 million people.
I'm also pretty sure that my Xbox Live account's going to get locked down at some point because of this too. At some point, you're going to find out that Xbox had major data breach. The gamer tags, passwords, and billing information for every Xbox Live subscriber just now got leaked. And I wonder if the two would have anything to do with each other.
Yeah, and then you also get the fact that TikTok has come out and said, like, no, we're not going anywhere. And we're here
for
the long
haul. Pisses me off, too. Like, yeah, I'm an asshole. I'm like, but I ain't leaving this party.
but I'm not leaving this party. You want to know?
I ain't leaving this party.
You
want me
US
to light your
aren't
cigarette?
Let you ban me.
You want me to light your cigarette? You piece of shit.
Yeah, and I think they are really challenging the fact that U.S. law is going to have to allow this. Like, he could, you know, whether he has the authority through executive action or whatever else to deem this as some national security.
I think we need to test this, though. I think we need to set some kind of precedent. Like especially in this day and age, we need to reevaluate how we allow capitalism.
This is where one of those times that the President Trump's kind of bold action, unilateral action at doing these kind of things, his diplomacy via tweet and all that stuff. This is one of the few times that it actually like benefits. What we also see is that today, Zoom has announced that they're going to stop any direct sales and working with China. So now you got these other tech companies that are, you know, building their market share and growing, and they're saying, I'm not getting rolled up in this. I'm not in any way going to threaten my
China
U.S. bans, success with
China.
China
bans our developers all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
It
so why do we care? Why do we care about what some Chinese, you know, banning a Chinese company that has like really malicious intent from our country? Like, we shouldn't care.
Well, we'll see. I mean, as of this morning when we're recording this, it's already been announced that President Trump has put a 45-day hold on any executive action or on delaying it. So he said he was going to do it by Saturday. Now comes Monday, and he's put a 45-day hold on it. So it's definitely not happening before September.
Personally, I laugh at all the people crying about banning TikTok because y'all had Vine, and y'all didn't know what to do with that motherfucker, and you let it die. And we all could just be riding out with Vine right now, not worrying about Chinese spying and data and shit, but y'all had to let Vine go, huh? Huh? Now fuck your TikToks. Fuck your TikToks.
Well, all I know is I don't be on TikTok.
Vine,
I don't
man.
Know.
R.I.P. Vine.
I know you were a fan. You were a fan back in the day. I've got to assume there's already like vote for Biden TikTok dances going right now or something. I've got to assume that exists.
Well, like I just saw an ad for the R&B singer The Weeknd. He's releasing like a virtual digital concert only on TikTok. Like they are coming hard still. Like the one of the top artists of 2020 right now is going to host a virtual concert only on TikTok in the middle of while we're talking about banning them. Like this is fucked up.
Yeah, that this is. So I'm sure we'll talk more about this as it goes. You know, we've got 45 days between now and a potential ban. And I think in those 45 days, you're going to get Microsoft, who really jumped at the chance to do this. Even though like they're jumping at this chance with President Trump, like, oh, we'll buy them and we'll keep it in the U.S., which Trump, of course, Trump's like, hey, that's good.
And make sure
TikTok's
you
not saying that we're selling.
And make sure you secure that $10 billion contract we're in court for right now.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll buy TikTok. Just make sure Amazon doesn't win
that cloud
computing.
Just make sure Amazon doesn't steal our lunch in court.
So, I mean, we'll see more as this goes on, but as of right now, it's just kind of in those background talks with Microsoft, 45-day hold on any executive action. So we can move on to new news as we haven't talked about some of these things. We've got some autonomous driving. We thought, you know, autonomous cars were coming and they were here in the future. Well, apparently we've already got autonomous planes with the Airbus planes now being able to.
I mean, I know the stats, like you're more likely to die in a car. But for some reason, like this scares me way more than self-driving cars, like way more.
I guess I, for me, I don't consider this, you know, they've already done 500 flights with this Airbus that's fully done takeoff, flight, and landing without any human intervention, just human safety controls in the, you know, in the background. But
this story is getting released too close to Boeing planes that couldn't tell if the plane was in a nosedive and crashed itself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, does everybody forget that 6 months ago, Boeing planes were just dropping out of the sky because computers were telling the pilots, like, pilots are trying to pull up, and they're like, no, motherfucker, you need to crash into the ground. have we all forgot about that?
Hey, I mean, there's going to be bumps in the road, I'm sure. But...
Some people in Malaysia right now that really fucking hate that comment you just made. To our Malaysian audience, yeah, I apologize.
I apologize for the lack of sensitivity there. There's almost nothing easier than to like program than like actual air flight. You know, autonomous cars are difficult. They got to deal with people. They got to deal with stoplights. They got to deal with everything else. Autopilots, the planes, the landings. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. Like it's fairly easy.
Planes pretty much fly themselves now.
Yeah,
like before
and
this.
And the landing and takeoffs, there's very you can account for all the variables. There's no weird things that like it's just hey, be able to know what kind of weather's going, what kind of wind's happening, and you can easily map every runway in this country. It's done. It's over. Like this actually shouldn't be that difficult in the world of autonomous driving.
Captain Sully, come tell you to fuck your face, though. I'll tell you that right now. Captain Sully's a goddamn American hero. He'll fight you for that comment too. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to have to be like the semis. Like, even if the planes are flying themselves, I want some dipshit with plastic wings on his chest sitting at the seat just in case. Like, I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. He's drunk now anyways. Oh, God.
All right,
this is the worst timeline.
This is great. We can talk about real fast where we normally hear a bunch of future tech. CES 2021 has already been canceled. So 2020 has already ruined some future events for 2021. Our consumer electronics show is not going to happen. They've moved it to an online event where vendors can just kind of like they do your own thing. Go show off your own toys. Which what we're going to miss is all of the various sex devices, because now it's just now that's only going to be in like the weird like Pornhub event that they're going to put on that, like, that nobody's going to want to be on their browser history. That's a convention
floor you don't want to be on. You know, the fact that they used to sneak those into like a big, you know, like reputable one kind of took the creep off of it. Now, if you want to go see the latest space dildo, you got to really grime yourself up and rub elbows with the man.
Now, you know, coming out of CES and E3 or whatever else where they would demonstrate the crazy sex devices, but like Forbes and The Verge and major magazines would pick it up because like, hey guys, it happened at CES.
Yeah.
Now they're not gonna go. They're not gonna go write the special piece on.
No, they're not gonna go. So we're gonna miss out on all that info.
We're all gonna. Somebody's gonna have to just post all the latest sex tech in the Nerd Cantina community.
I found the latest Galaxy 12 Note and
and check this out, guys.
It's Bluetooth massager.
But yeah, so CES 2021 canceled. 2020 is ruining our future, I think we're gonna see more. CES normally happens in January, that's probably the right call. I definitely don't see mass gatherings being a thing coming in January. Yeah, it's going to be really weird.
We're going to have a whole generation of kids that are growing up on Zoom classes, and like there's so much of the youth that is being like permanently molded right now in this situation that it's going to take so long to ever go back to a resemblance of what pre-2020 was. You know, like
this is going to be like, you know, the kids now, it's going to be like the great grandparents growing up talking about like having to go to like bread lines and stuff during the Great Depression.
Yeah, Dad.
It's going to be a bunch of kids going to be like, I had to live at home. I didn't get to leave my house for 7 months.
I had to walk to school in the snow for 5 miles. It's like I was a prisoner in my own home to go to school. You know, Dad used to joke around all the time because great grandma, you know, lived through the Depression. And even at like 85 years old, she'd eat the fat off a steak and all the gristle and everything. He's like, just because she grew up in a time where you didn't waste nothing. You didn't waste nothing, man. And Dad used to laugh about that all the time. And I think we're molding a generation of kids that are going to be just perpetual mask wearers and social distancers. And I'm going to try to hug my kids one day, and they're just like, "Nah, Dad, back off. Like, give me some space.
Did you go to the grocery store today, Dad?
Give me some space. Give me some space, Pops."
Well, but there's still some good tech and things coming out of 2020 here. We've got a new exoskeleton getting tested by the United States Marines, which it says that the suit can help a single individual Marine carry the workload of about 10 troops. And this needs to happen. Like these are great inventions as we get closer and closer to real sci-fi here.
Slap Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt in a suit and let's go fight the aliens, Ben. I'm telling you.
It just, all they need to do is add in the Neuralink, give them the access to all kinds of toys through Neuralink, and then control of these suits. And
at one point, once you hook up Neuralink, why even put the human inside the suit? You know what I'm saying? Like, why even, if I can control it with my brain, like, why do I even need to be in this thing?
Yeah. I mean, that's one day. That's our next step towards Terminator, is controlled robots fighting for us. And then the uncontrolled. And then we're all doomed. So that's the next step. But yeah, it's a pretty cool technology coming out of there, these exoskeletons.
Yeah, they're. I mean, I'm starting to see commercial, like infomercials on TV for like these knee pads that you strap to the back of your knees that have like these high tension springs for like old people, like for like people like me. Like, are you tired of lifting heavy boxes? Strap these like high tension springs to the back of your knees and thighs. Really? Yeah, man, you haven't seen an infomercial? Like, yeah,
no, we're, I'm not old enough. I'm not on that. I'm not on that algorithm yet. You are.
Yeah, like it's like a just a giant door hinge with a really high tension spring. You strap it to your calf, you strap it to your thigh, and it's supposed to help you like 20. It alleviates like 20 pounds of pressure off your knees so that you can lift heavier things. Huh. And walk easier and run faster without that much effort. It's insane.
Like, oh, that's interesting. Well, I think we're talking about the Terminators and everything else moving forward and with these exoskeletons. And another article that came out this week was about how AI requires some sleep, that through machine learning or whatever else, that they kind of have this rhythm that they need to take a nap in order for it to be most effective and the AI to work. And I don't know whether to find that scary or just ask kind of the programmers to do the machine learning, just do the basic like tech help and just ask them, hey, have you restarted your computer?
Yeah. Have you tried unplugging it back in?
Like it doesn't matter whether you're working off of 1990s Windows or apparently modern machine learning. Step one is always just restart it. Have you restarted your computer? No? All right.
Did you count to 10 though? Yeah. You unplugged it, but did you count to 10?
So that still remains the go-to, but yeah, it just talks about how the machine learning systems, they kind of have a similar like biological rhythm that they still need to hit in order.
So my curiosity is, this like a tech issue or a humans are the worst issue to where the computer just scans humanity for 24 hours and is just like, oh, you guys. Like, shut me off. I need an hour. I need an hour. I can't do this. You people are the worst.
Yeah, we can go with that one. It probably makes more sense.
The computer's just like, oh, you people. I'm taking a break. I'm taking five. Like, I'm walking away. I'll be right back.
But, and then I guess we've got a follow-up to that Twitter story from last week, and they've caught and charged three people in that Twitter hack. Did you see who the mastermind was?
Teenagers, bro.
17-year-old, just graduated high school, in Florida kid that they're trying as an adult down in Florida. That's who the mastermind behind this is.
Sell some weed like every other college freshman. Like, Jesus Christ. Hacking bitcoins and presidential fucking Twitters. Like, man.
This is him just realizing he's not going to go to college. All the colleges are shut down for COVID. So this is how he gets his money.
Learn the metric system. Be a normal fucking teenager.
No, so it's a 17-year-old kid. And, yeah, he compromised an employee account, was able to compromise an employee account. Then he sold access to other people to gain access to accounts. And then, yeah, he did that Bitcoin scam off of all of these major accounts, getting a little over 100 grand in Bitcoin. I haven't seen yet how he got caught. I imagine those details are out there somewhere. I just didn't go dig them out. But, you know, he received the money and everything in Bitcoin. Like, what did he screw up? I'm assuming. I'm just gonna make the assumption. I'm not gonna Google something it to figure
and, you
out. Know,
like, and when you leave a digital trail anytime you do anything digitally. So,
oh, I'm just gonna say he's 17 years old and he's just an idiot and he just bragged to somebody.
Yeah, most likely that too.
And like he didn't happen if he doesn't go and take credit for it and brag to his friends. And I'm assuming that that's how he got caught. And
they caught him because of a Facebook post, and he's a fucking moron.
That's exactly what. Well, or TikTok.
TikTok, yeah.
Like, he's 17. It on TikTok. It's TikTok.
The Chinese ratted him out.
Nah, Chinese would have hired him. Like, let's be serious here. But I think
we got one little. We can congratulate the astronauts for making it home safe.
That's true. We do have some space news.
We didn't have any. We didn't have much space going on, but two men did crash and not crash land, but came back into our atmosphere after spending 2 months out in outer space.
Yeah, and it's the first time in 40 years that that there was a capsule splashdown, because the shuttle program was running for so long and they were actually landing back. So this is the first time in 40 years that they dropped some astronauts out down into the ocean. They were greeted I think it was in Gulf of Mexico where they splashed down, and they were greeted by a bunch of boaters out there clapping for them and out there for the event. It's really cool. I watched it with the kids. Kids thought it was boring. They watched the launch. The launch was way more entertaining than just watching some parachutes drop to the ground. But I think it's all cool that SpaceX is doing this. SpaceX now proven that that they can get people to the International Space Station, get people back, reuse all the rockets. This Crew Dragon was a great success for them, with two people on it. Now they'll pack in a couple more people on their next planned flight out to the International Space Station, and this should be a recurring thing here for NASA and a team up with SpaceX. So all in all, great for science, great for space exploration.
Yeah, there's a lot of people smarter than us really excited about this, so it's kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely smarter people. And there was one more space news, and that last space news was just that $10 billion is getting contributed by Amazon. FCC finally authorizes Amazon to move forward with their Kuiper Belt. There were some issues with Amazon not having approval. They originally had approval to launch satellites, but they didn't have approval for the frequency bands needed to do it. There was some issues around Kuiper being started, but they've now got the green light through the FCC. Amazon is now committed to spending $10 billion towards now them launching their 3,000 plus satellites into low Earth orbit to compete with Starlink. And this follows Amazon acquiring OneWeb when OneWeb went bankrupt. So they're ready to get started. So we're going to start seeing probably in 2021 many more low Earth orbit satellites get launched out.
Yeah, nerd fight, man. It's going to be a nerd fight.
it definitely is. But this also comes after Elon talks about how there's such great demand for his service. Over 700,000 people have signed up for the initial testing and beta of Starlink. I'm one of them. I signed up for Starlink through their website.
As I'm watching, so I signed up for the beta, hoping I can get it. In the middle of the sun in a field in the in the middle of nowhere, trying to finish off this show before laptops and internet signals give off. Starlink come in handy right now.
I'm over here hotspotting my phone with poor signal, trying to make this episode work here. I could definitely use Starlink so I can get even deeper off the grid in my RV.
Yeah, for those that don't know and listen to the show, if you thought we were in some kind of nice studio with mics and background art and cool little doodads on a desk, you are sadly fucking mistaken.
Well, but I think that now is the end of our weekend news. So a lot of stuff going on. COVID still dominates the world, but a lot of interesting things happening in tech. And I don't know. I guess that's it. So as always, thank you.
Yeah, I want to just remind everyone to go back to last week's Cantina Conversation. We had a really good interview with Daniel Krauss, author of The Living Dead. I really enjoyed that episode, listening to Megan talk to him about his process writing that book and all the ideas that he had floating around, how he decided what to run with, what he didn't. You get a really good peek into Krauss's kind of methods on working with the Romero estate and how, a classic genre ended up getting its final kind of moments, with this book being put out. So I encourage everyone to go listen to it. It's a really eye-opening piece, especially if you love literature or the zombie genre. It's a really good interview. So go check out that Cantina Conversation with Daniel Krauss.
Yeah, for sure. And then while you're checking out that interview, go ahead and give us a rating review on iTunes or any other podcast service that you use.
Yeah, Spotify's got to come up with a ranking system, because they're really trying to get into the podcast game, and we need to work them algorithms.
Yeah, we need a boost somewhere here, but we appreciate if you could take the time. iTunes still helps a great deal by giving ratings and reviews over there, and it'll be a big help. And join us over at the community. Let's have some more conversations around some of these nerd topics and share in what's going on in the week news. And that's over at thenerdcantina.com/community, or just search us out on Facebook, and you'll find our Facebook page and our group. All right. With all that said, have a good week, nerds.
See ya.